please like, comment, and subscribe.
Hi, I'm Kim.
Hi, I'm Tora, and we want to welcome you to our show, Kicking It with Kim and Tora. Today, we have so many good topics, and I really want to just get to it because trust me when I tell you this one topic right here has got me going crazy. It's about one of my favorite sports is basketball, and this is about WNBA star Brittany Griner. She has been arrested and she has been detained, I should say, in Russia for having hemp. Over here in the United States, I'm not sure. I don't think hemp is illegal if you get caught with it. And maybe some places might not like it, but here it's not illegal.
I thought now, it was cannabis oil. Is it not?
No, it's been hemp. It was hemp oil.
Come on now, and it doesn't even have any THC in it.
That's exactly what everyone is upset about. So that's why they're thinking that the Russians are using this as a political ploy, which I have already said, I don't know where they have been for the last 400 years, but if you're trying to use a Black woman, I don't care that she's a superstar athlete. I don't care that she's a, you know, one of the best who's ever done it. They don't care. And if the powers that be, the Ivy League boys that run this country, the Oval Table dudes that run this, they are laughing at Russia right now for them to even remotely think that she's a priority in their life. And I respect that. I respect Putin and I respect Russia for giving us that pedestal to make me think, we're that important that you think you can use us. I really am wholeheartedly feeling flattered by it.
But and I'm wondering where has he been, because everybody knows the same way Ukraine disrespected us, our own home country disrespected us. So if he thinks he's going to hold her and gain some political advantage, he needs to think again. That is not going to work.
That's what I'm trying. I want to be, you know what I really want? I want him to put her up in a nice 7, 8, 9, 10 star hotel, get her a masseuse, get her a manicure, pedicure, pop bottles with her, give her a massage, do something special like that. If you want to piss these guys off over here, treat her like a real queen.
Now,
you
know? That's a point. That's a point. If you really want to, if you really want to make a difference, treat her like a queen, and then you might get them upset.
Then you might get what you want. But right now, they're probably telling you to, you know, I'll leave this part out because my children are like, don't say that. But I was like,
they're probably saying, we jail those Black folk all the time. Jail her too. Thanks for helping us. Thanks for joining the bandwagon.
Oh my God. That's exactly what I'm saying. So if like there's anything that as you know, people of the United States can tell Russia about anything, it's just, you might as well let her go. I promise you, there is another nationality that you could hold up over there that you can use for political ploy, but you're not going to get what you want with this sister. I promise you. Well, they will leave her there to rot before they actually send anybody over there to argue on her behalf. I'm sorry. Yeah. And that's not putting us down. We know our place in life. We know we're the top of the top. We know who we are. We know the threat that we are. We know the knowledge and wisdom and understanding we have. We know that. But because they know that too, it's like they dig up the road as we traveling on it just to make sure we don't have to have a path, you know? So I just wish that other people would just know that before they try to do something like hold a Brittany Griner as a political ploy to get an agenda across.
As a political ploy, it's a total non-starter, but I am concerned that they have a pattern of incarcerating people for minor crimes and keeping them for years. And when I was reading about the Brittany Griner story, there was a story about someone else who got caught with something very minimal and he was jailed for years. So I'm hoping that
there's a white guy in Dubai. There's a white guy in Dubai who got 25 years for having e-cigarettes.
And I just hope they let her go and don't turn it into more than it needs to be.
Yeah, but they would be that would help us get on board with their agenda, because at this point I feel like we're not on board with their agenda. We're like, look, that's y'all war. We're staying out of it. We don't have any parts of it, you know. And I
don't
feel
think
like
letting her go is gonna work. I think that the way they treated those Africans and
in Ukraine,
and it turns out also Blacks who were born and raised in the Ukraine. Black mm-hmm. Ukrainians, mm-hmm. the way they treated them in Poland and all, and the Russian soldiers, I think most Black folk could care less. I see them on social media just say, F Ukraine and Russia. They yeah. don't care because we yeah. just have been alienated by the entire process. But it's my understanding that the United States is now awarding some big aid package to Ukraine?
Yeah, last I read, it was like $41 billion that the United States and the UN was, I guess, collectively or either separately were going to aid to their refugees. It was for their refugees. Of course, if you follow the politics like I do, it hurt. Because you're like, well, where's our, well, you know, we could use that. We've been waiting on that. Like, that could be part of our reparation that we've been asking for holding us down all these years with your laws and your rules and your, you know, your redlining. Like, we need to rebuild our community, and it starts with us. So you don't think that would help us? Like, you say everybody, y'all want a handout. Well, what is that? Isn't that a handout? So that's what we're asking for, the same handout you've given them.
We're asking money for everything and everybody but us, Tora. As a matter of fact, you know that plan that they, what was it called? I can't figure out how to use my phone anymore. The plan that they made, the White House plan, it is called the American Rescue Plan.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. Out money to colleges and universities. They gave $2.7 billion to HBCUs. So Black people-
$2.7 billion?
Yes. So some Black people were like, yeah, Joe Biden, they gave us money. But then when you look at the plan, you see they gave us 2.7, but they gave $11 billion to Hispanic serving institutions, $5 billion to Asian American and Native American Pacific Islander serving institutions. They got money for everybody but us. They only gave $190 million to tribally controlled colleges and universities. So for Blacks and Indigenous Americans, mm-hmm. they don't have anything for us, but they're determined to bring those Latinos and Asians over here. And it seems to me that they're trying to insert them in a slot above us, and they will do anything they have to try to elevate them over us.
Well, I mean, if you really want to go deeper into it, I really believe that that's what this whole thing is about as far as the refugees, is to try to get more of a different race in different parts of the world to help their numbers. Because I really feel like I've seen so many tears shed and so many concerns. And I'm like, I know we've seen refugees before, and I've never seen y'all cry. I've never seen no one on the news have empathy for a baby who's been shot up and carried in his father's arms. I've never seen y'all look like y'all about to have a nervous breakdown. Where is this coming from?
Straight racism. I mean, like with the Afghanistan refugees, they brought them over here by the plane load, and they mm-hmm. gave them money to resettle mm-hmm. and stuff. And I think that's a part of what we're talking about. But what you're talking about right now, I think that's just straight out racism. They're on the news saying, these are Europeans. These yeah. are not some middle, some people from the Middle East. That's yeah. racism. That's just institutionalized global racism. And now it's pouring out on the TV.
Yeah.
And I don't know that they realize it. And I don't know that they care, but we can mm-hmm. see it. We can yeah. see it.
It was just blatant. And I don't think they hide it anymore. I think they want you to know how they feel. So that's why I feel like we can be able to speak freely about how, not even how we feel, but how they're making us feel. Because I know how I want to feel about life and people, and that's not how I want to feel. You know, we have other problems, and we have other things like we can address on an everyday basis. The last thing I want to worry about is your population dwindling away and you trying to figure out a way to survive it.
I'm not worrying about their population. Let it dwindle away. I don't care how many anti-abortion laws Texas passes. You're not going to be the majority. It's not going to happen. And no fake whites are going to change that. But I think that the racism issue has two prongs to it. On the one hand, we have to be concerned about the level of racism globally. Mm. On the other hand, there is an ongoing war against humanity that we would like to be able to join together with other people to fight. But as long as they're trying to keep us at the bottom of the heap, I can't really join with you while you're more concerned about blonde hair, blue eyed Europeans than you are about Middle Easterners and Africans who are getting bombed out of their country and having to leave. How do I join with you when you don't value me? So it sort of almost tries to force us to have to be concerned with race all the time. And as blackety black, black as I am, I'm not going to do that either. I'm not giving anybody control over my mind, you know?
And I agree with that. And my thing is this, I think, Dave Chappelle had a comedy act when he said how he feels about Caucasian people with the drugs and their prescription drug overuse. So he was feels the same way how they felt about the crack epidemic. It just, he doesn't care.
It's like, you're a drug addict. Get your life. Right. Get yourself to just say no. All that.
Yeah, exactly. And so that's why I feel they don't understand when they show disheartening the way they're showing it towards Black people around the world. Mm-hmm. You don't understand what you're doing. You're not making your life better. You're making it worse because we are showing that same thing back to you. We can't even have sympathy or empathy for you because of how you treat us. And just to go in, like, I don't know where everyone's been, but there's a producer, Ryan Coogler. He was going into Bank of America, which if anybody's ever known Tora, you will know that I never give that place a rave review ever. I had my own experiences with them.
Yeah, I quit my, I had lawyer trust accounts there. I was like, cancel them. I don't even care. I'm not coming back.
Not a good company for me or anybody I love. So no, we do not value their, you know, service. So he goes into there, he hands the lady a note. I've read the note.
Why? I read the note too, but why did he give her a note?
Because he's a celebrity and he's taking cash out, $12,000 in cash. He didn't want it to be counted in front of everybody because they do that. They bring out a money machine, they sit it there and it goes, makes a lot of noise. So then they hand it right to you.
$12,000 isn't that much. I think
poor robber it is. You know, you don't know who's in the bank that day. You don't know if a guy's in the bank or a girl's in the bank and call somebody and say, look, I just seen this brother take $12,000 in cash out. Let's follow him, see where he goes.
That brings that brings up something to mind. I personally don't think that $12,000 is that much, mm-hmm. but there is the Patriot Act. And whenever you go over $10,000, it triggers that. But you're just supposed to fill out some forms. You're not supposed to get arrested.
No, and I think that is even like just $10,000.
It's $10,000.
So my thing is this. It hurts because it was a sister, it sounds like, from the 911 call that said she asked her manager. Now, mind you, I've called her simple, but I would like to call her a lot worse, but I want to be
like, you mean like kind enough and stuff like that. I call her cool.
I wanted to definitely call her that. I wanted to call her an idiot, stupid. I wanted to call her all of the above because I read the letter. Yes, I did. I read the letter and the note that he told her keep referring to. It just took common sense. I've never met a robber that gives you his card, his bank card, and his ID.
And puts in his PIN.
And asks you to, even the 911 Black lady who's talking, or it sounded like she could have been.
I didn't hear that part.
But even her said, well, it just sounds like he's just trying to be cautious, but I'll send the police anyway. She sounded like she wanted to be like, sister, where are you? What would make you think this is a robbery if he giving you his ID and his card? She said, so you didn't verify anything? Because all it takes is common sense. You look at his ID, you look at his account, you see he got the money in, you go take the money in the back, you count it, you put it in the bag, and if it ain't all right, then that's on him. He asked for it to be discreet. Where did you get? So the woman said, do you have a gun? He, no. Did you see a weapon? Not to my knowledge. Stop adding trouble and wait. Why? Calling the police on a Black person, period, could end in something horrific. That man could have lost his life because white cops did come, did arrest him and his friends outside.
They didn't ask
him
any questions. They called his name and said that he was going to be under arrest.
So if that's not the system breeding racism at its best, then what is it? Because I would have never in a million years, based on everything that's been, it's no such thing of investigation when you hear everything. I heard everything. And just that alone, the brother comes in with his ID, asked me to count the money, not so everybody can see it. My common sense would never assume he's trying to rob me.
Well, one thing in particular is that Black people on some level are selling their souls to work for these corporations because even to be in that position and say, I'm going to go talk to my manager is a soul selling move to me. And so I think that we have to start thinking as a people about how much of ourselves are we willing to sacrifice for that biweekly paycheck. Also, seems to me that there are two sets of rules, and our people are willing to enforce the discriminatory rules against us. And, you know, they see a wiper. Oh, yes, sir. How can I? Oh, yeah. We'll be right back. And I mean, it's just a problem. It's just
and you know, there was a word for them, and it was Mr. Overseer. You know, he was the guy who rode around on the horse, black as black can get, and was willing to whip you and beat you down just like any other person who was of any other race other than yours. If you out in the field picking cotton in the hot sun for hours and you stop to take a water break, he was Mr. Overseer, was the black man who would literally, you know, Django unlive you. You know what I'm saying? Like, literally. So it's like, I feel like these are the modern ones. You know, I feel like they're afraid, and I'm speaking down on our black race. I'm speaking down on us right now. I feel like we have gotten into a position where we are so afraid to stick up for one another, all because they do put in the media. I'm on social media.
I don't think it's that. I'm going to be honest with you, and I'm going to have a clarification that it's a portion of our people, because there are more and more of our people who are becoming awake every day and having meetings. I've just been in a meeting last night. They're having meetings. They're coming together. They're saying, we need plans. What are we going to do? But I don't think that our people are so afraid. I think our people are programmed self-hating. If you hate yourself, you hate me. When you see me, you hate yourself. So it reminds, I remind you of yourself. So you project that hate onto me. I go to the grocery store. I can go to a grocery store and see a cashier. How are you doing, ma'am? And all that to the white lady and pack her stuff all neatly. And then when I come up, it's not the same thing. That is not fear. That is self-hate that she's
projecting. I say fear, meaning they're afraid of the little rope that they have been given to be taken from them. That's the fear I'm talking about. I feel like, okay, I might have came from nothing and now I'm making six figures. I have money in the bank. I have a nice car and a house, but now I'm afraid to lose it all if I step out of line.
Well, that's the soul selling. That's what I mean when I say soul selling. They are willing to sacrifice a fundamental portion of who they are to maintain material wealth. And, you know, you sold your soul. You may not be Kanye, you may not be Beyonce or Jay-Z, but in your world, you're willing
you don't want
to
rock the boat.
Sell your soul. That's your level of selling, because that's where you are, you know?
You look at someone as pure as a Bob Marley, like make beautiful music, a beautiful man, and he
share all his wealth with the village. He's like, wealth is not money. If you're thinking wealth is money, you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah. And you assassinate him in the most deadliest way, making him suffer, all because wealth, once he told you that money wasn't riches to him, then you realize he's most dangerous ever. Because when he was asked, are you rich? And he said, what is rich?
What is rich money to you? He said, what is rich to you?
Yeah, what is rich to you? And when he says that, that's not rich. You know, health was rich. You know, family was rich. You know, being able to sing and do what he do was rich. Not the any monetary thing was, and that stuck with me since I've been a kid. Like, I heard that. I was every bit of 25 when I heard that interview, and it stuck with me, and it always kept me in line to let me know that that material stuff is not my riches. My riches is when I can wake up and go to sleep at night knowing that I can say what I want, feel the way I want to feel. And like you always say, which I love, is to reserve the opportunity to change my mind if I feel as though, you know, it needs to be changed.
And from Bob Marley's perspective, and you have the love of family and community, but I think they killed him because they saw that he had the power to bring people together. And they had One Love concert. I think that he just appeared to be too powerful. But speaking of celebrities, celebrities are ruining our social media game because they keep coming on there, and in 5-10 posts, two posts, they've got 1.5 million followers. Their kids are coming on and saying, you were raised by Erica, but I was raised by K KC or whomever it is, you know, and then they have a big platform. And what I'm noticing is big content creators are not getting the numbers they used to get.
No.
The celebrities are hopping on there, taking over everything.
But if you look at it, the old content creators are moving into mainstream TV. So they're still getting the opportunity for them. And if they're of, and they're not our Black people who are the biggest content creators. It was never Black folks. So they're not getting the TV opportunity. But I am seeing a lot of like the Charli Milios and all of her, you know, followers and people that, you know, were up there with her, they all moving into mainstream TV.
Because you know, I hardly watch mainstream TV.
But they got shows on Hulu. They got shows on, you know, Bravo. They got shows on all these channels. And it's like, well, they don't need social media anymore to make a, you know, a dollar. But we still
do. They're kind of switching.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that, you think about it. If she has over 25 million viewers on TikTok, she's taking all of those over to her channel. You know, most of those people are, if they're banking on, are going to follow her over there.
Yeah,
so she's already got money set over there waiting for her. So she doesn't need social media anymore. She doesn't need to even be on it or post great stuff or do anything on it. However,
weren't posting any great stuff anyway. They were taking a picture and going and getting
They were taking our stuff. They were taking Black
folks. They were taking our content in terms of music, in terms of songs, but they were also making stupid, I don't want to say stupid, but non-creative content, where they're pretty much just standing there and getting 7 million views, and we're acting out a whole skit just to get 70,000, you know?
And it's like you said, it's an algorithm that somebody is setting up to for us to fail in. It's totally set up for us to fail in.
You know what the thing is? Everywhere, every way, it just seems that they're constantly trying to bring us down and hold us down. And that can only mean that we are so powerful if we would just remember who we are and wake up. Because if somebody has no power and they are not a threat, you do not waste your time having entire systems in place to hold them down. So that gives me courage, even though it may be ticking me off in some regards. It gives me faith, because I am awakening, and I am around other people who are awakening, and it's happening more and more all the time. And it doesn't matter what they do, we are going to rise. And they know it.
Hollywood has always given us gems. Like, you remember in The Lion King when he says, "Remember who you are." You know, he says that to Simba. Remember who, that is exactly a gem for us.
And what happened when Simba remembered who he was? His whole world changed. Right. And not only did he change his life, he changed his kingdom's life, because his uncle had run them into the ground. So not only can we save ourselves, we can save our earth, because they're destroying our planet too. Bit by bit, they're destroying our planet.
We have to remember who we are.
I feel like we're starting to. I feel like there are a bunch of people who are now going into this indigenous American thing. Mm-hmm. But I I'm always doing some other research and learning about indigenous Blacks from Europe, the swarthy Europeans who were Black. We were everywhere. We're starting to get it. And different people are talking about different aspects of it. It's just a matter of time. And they it. That's why they're throwing everything.
They gotta be loving it though. They gotta say to themselves, these people are resilient. We throwing our best work at them and they still rise. It's like, yeah, we are the sun. That's the sun still can rise. That's how we are. But it was Stevie Wonder who just got
I saw him on TikTok talking.
That's who it was. And I was, now he's always been a woke brother. I've always respected him. He has.
But what was he talking about? Because I was looking at him side-eyed, whatever.
It was basically going so deep that he was saying, you know, he was going to be wanting to move to Africa. He wants to start a village there where we can all, like you say, the repack. He's been saying, you know, it can work. Like, we could take our teams. We could take, oh my God, he was given so much history that I already knew, but younger people who are listening need to hear that. You know, like, we had
YouTube? Because I saw him on TikTok.
I saw him on TikTok. Mm-hmm.
I thought he was talking about Ukraine and love, and yeah, that was like, I was like, Stevie, who told you to say that? We don't want to hear that.
I think he was going with the reverse psychology. I was, that's what I got from the Ukraine one.
I
think he was talking about, because he said you can feel it. No. We can see it, but he can feel it. And I kind of got
say that. I got that, but I don't want to hear. I don't know. I don't have anything to say about that. But I didn't hear the part about repatriation or expatriation.
Yeah, he was saying how he and it's true. Like when you look at all the history of what we did, like I was upset when I found out, you know, we gave up all our professional baseball teams just so Jackie Robinson could be on an all.
We had our own football teams. We had our own baseball teams. We had everything, and we have to go back to that.
Yeah, but we wanted to we wanted to integrate, and we thought that was better.
It was a bad choice, but I don't think we knew any. I mean, we hadn't had an opportunity. I'm not really mad at them, but I think that it wasn't the best choice. And now that we know better, maybe we need to pivot, come up out of there and go back to something else. I don't know. I'm going to have to look for Stevie and see what I can find about that, because he missed me with the whole thing. But the thing that I will say, you know, I initially was a person who was very much for what I was calling repatriation. Mm-hmm. But I really don't think we can call it that, because I've been to Africa, but most of us have never been to Africa. When you repatriate, you go back to your homeland. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking more of it as expatriation. Mm-hmm. But for me now, I'm more of the opinion that I've learned that we come from everywhere. There are indigenous Blacks on every continent, every island, everything. So in my mind, instead of all of us trying to run back to Africa, why don't we rise up in the various locations where we are? And Africans need to rise up too and do their part. Right. And then we build a global community, because I don't think that I'm going to expatriate anytime soon. I'm going to build up my country right here. This is our land.
My grandfather used to say, they're not going to run me out my own country. And when
he lived to be
90, you know? Well, my great grandfather, he lived in his 90s, and he used to say that to me. Because he was a farmer, he had his own land. He passed his land down to his kids, and then his kids passed it down to my cousins. So yeah, like the land that we have was a farmland. You know, my family has was a beautiful giant farmland where he owned pretty much all the homes on that street, and there was all Black owned. Now it's different. You know,
we have a farmland, an ancestral farmland down south. And when my grandmother, who raised me and her siblings and mother, migrated up here, they didn't pay the taxes and we lost the land. Now, when you go down there, it's a daggone state park. And it still has the small little.
See, that's what I mean about we do it to ourselves. Because before you even tell us, look, our house is in trouble. This is what you need. You can live it. You can have it. They'd rather let it go before they actually tell you I owe $15,000 on it and you can have it. So you're not going to get it. You don't have $15,000. And then you don't want me to give it. Then you want me to give you $15,000 so you can keep it. But then if I don't do it, then you just let it go to the state. And then the state.
Now, I think that what you're talking about is relevant for this generation.
Yeah.
Understands that it'd be better, like you're saying, to let brother or sister X buy it than to give it to the state. But for my grandmother, who was two generations before me,
that worked her butt off to have.
I don't think she was ever a slave, but I think that she was very close to that generation where the people before her weren't allowed to read. It's a lack of knowledge. I'm not sure that they were even thinking about or had the ability to comprehend.
No, I'm talking about the new generation that inherit that responsibility to keep that land up and to you know, make sure and ensure that grandma's hard work got.
But my generations never got that chance. It got taken at my great grandmother's level, because she was still alive when my grandmother and them migrated up, and then when she came up too, they left it. And so the current generation.
They
never
didn't know
got
the value of what they had.
They didn't have it. They never got it, because the state took it when our ancestors left the oppressive South to come here and did not continue to make that payment there. So it never got to us to say, hey, this is valuable, let's keep it. It was gone before we realized what they had done. By the time we grew up, it had already been done. But I still sort of kind of might look into that, because who knows what kind of tactics they use. I might can find something they did improper and get it back.
That would be nice. Oh, that, and now your people, a lot of people are doing that though. That got their land and stuff. The, do you know the beach, Manhattan Beach
in California?
In California. And yeah. I, which is crazy because I always say I'm a spiritual person. I only am a spiritual person. When I went, I never knew anything about Manhattan Beach, never heard of it. One of my friends, when I was out there, was like, you don't want to go to popular beach, you want to go to Manhattan Beach. And it was far, but we went because my kids wanted to go and we were meeting another person there. But when I went there, it was something immediately as soon as I hit that boardwalk, I felt something. Couldn't put my finger on what it was.
Those ancestral spirits.
And I'm telling you, I could not put, and then when the thing blew up, when I got back home, it probably was a year and a half later, I heard Manhattan Beach used to be a Black-owned beach and it was beautiful. And they started showing these pictures. And I said, Tor, that's what it was. That's what it was. I could not put my finger on what it was, but I knew once I heard that it was Black. I was looking out over the water, I was looking at the sand, I was looking at all these gorgeous million-dollar homes that are lined up on the beach, and I just kept saying to myself, is this feeling, I can't be, I've been to the ocean a million times, I'm from Maryland, like, come on now. But it was something that hit me differently, and it was because, it hit me because, you know, we have a beach called Bay Ridge Beach, and one is called Highland Beach. Highland Beach was Black owned, up, down, sideways, you know, the cars, the back in the, I don't know if you ever heard your parents tell you they used to go to a beach called Cars Beach where they used to see all the greatest come down and sing. There's about to be a big story about that too. I know the girl that's working on the movie, but Cars Beach in Annapolis, Maryland was one of the
I heard of that. I heard of that Black beach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I actually know the last, well, not the last, but one of the main cars that are still living. And we were talking about this one time. And when I went to the part of the beach where Cars Beach was, I had to pick up somebody from down there to go somewhere. And they were like, oh yeah, this is Cars Beach. And it's not Black owned anything anymore. It's still, you know, she sold most of all of that. But I had that same feeling. And I remember that. And that was like 5-10 years down the road, way before I even went to Manhattan Beach. I mean, way before I went. I remember going there because I had heard so many stories about this beach being Black owned and beautiful, and all the greatest went there. And that same feeling was when I went to Manhattan Beach. So I know that there are still spirits around. I know that there are still people trying to guide us to do the right thing. I just hopefully we can get it right in our lifetime so our children can have something. Because right now it just seems like everybody's just taking everything that's Black owned and making it something that history isn't showing it anymore. Because that's another show we got to do, and I'll remind you about that. But we got to do a show about where did history separate? Because you can't say we invented all of this, we had the patents for all of this, but we were slaves too. Something ain't right in this daggone thing.
Yeah, I don't really feel the lack of hope that I hear in your words, and and we do have to end because the thing went off a few minutes ago, but I think a part of it is that you have maintained faith in white folks for so long, and now stuff is hitting you in your face and it's causing some level of despair. For me, having felt that and seen that for so long, and I don't know. I don't feel what you feel. I feel like we are on the verge of coming back. I'm seeing people that didn't have a clue say, yeah, remember when you were telling me? People are starting to come around. So I'm feeling that we're going to win. But I do want to talk about what you're talking about, because history, as they've taught us, is not real. And that's a part of why we can't half remember who we are, because we've been indoctrinated with their views or what they want us to think about.
But has it ever hit you, like when you see so many important and prominent things we have built, owned, created, right? During the time they were trying to tell you we couldn't read or write and there was slavery. Like, I understand. I've seen those.
Oh yeah, I agree.
I heard the story. But to me, I'm like, well, when did this happen? Because you're saying this man has this fine suit on that was custom made by the baddest designer during the same time this person was out in the field picking cotton and couldn't read or write.
And you know,
y'all, this part of history.
And when you really start digging, you start seeing that a lot of those Europeans that were coming over here were Moors, Blackamoors, and so there's something really freaky going on. The story is not what they tell us.
The story's not adding up anymore, and it hurts because I'm like, wait. When you sit down and actually think of it, you either brush it off and say, it's too much for me, or you sit there and go, you said he invented the car and he has a patent for it. You said he invented he has a patent for it, but he couldn't read or write, and he was picking cotton and getting beat too. Like, you can't have the two going on at the same time. It's just no way. So there is a time where every Black person was prominent, and they're even saying that they were in office. Like, this person was a senator the equivalent of a senator or a congressman. I'm like, huh? So you respected him enough to be a law in government, but then he's in the field too, picking cotton.
We have to have it because we are way over time, but we definitely have to talk about that. We had a couple other topics that were really critical or interesting that we never even got to. So hopefully next week. I mean, there's just always so much going on.
Our topics are always relevant. So even if we do bring it back to you Wednesday next week.
Yeah, 1 week is not going to make it irrelevant anymore. Exactly. So as always, we thank you all for joining us and hope you find the conversation very interesting and that you comment and let us know what your thoughts are.
And we always thank you for kicking in with Kim and Tora. And we want you to like, subscribe, and share, and always comment. We love your comments. Thank you, and please come back and join us next week.
Thank you.